It's another edition of the Snow Show. This week, it's more fun on the snow from Colorado Ski Country, USA, with your Snow Show hosts, Tom Fricke and Leon Joseph Littlebird.
We're talking with a Breckenridge legend, our good buddy, CJ Mueller.
You were the fastest man on skis.
A long time ago.
I think I was 37. It was 1987.
Yes.
And I got to meet you.
Do you hear that?
Somebody's car alarm is going off.
The barrel room.
It means one of the barrels is ready to go.
That's what that noise is.
Let's poke a hole in it and drink that stuff. So back in those days, nobody had like something to track their speed, right? Except like speed guns and stuff, and there was only this. You had to have a timing crew that had you tripped a wire and then you crossed a line, and you know it was analog.
Before we go any further, I will say, you still have to have that.
Oh, really? They don't rely on GPS positioning?
Anybody
who does is crazy, because it's not very accurate.
It's not accurate.
Right. No. And it's still, when you trip you, the starting gate, you trip the wire.
It's physical.
Yeah. And it's you against the clock.
Yeah.
So what I've been wanting to ask you this for years. What's it like when you're standing there in your gear?
Yeah.
Your heart's pounding.
No.
Your heart's rested.
Yes.
Okay, I get that.
Now they got all the sportcasters and everybody talking about the zone, and it's like, well, maybe somebody out there knows what the zone is, but there's not very many.
Yeah, and the zone is pretty intimately personal, isn't it?
Yes.
But so, and then you go down, you're just going to go straight.
Yes.
So now what happens at that point for you? Because I did some downhill racing, but what's in your head right at that point when you're blistering down trying to set the world speed record?
Well, what I used to tell people is hopefully nothing's in your head, because...
Right, yeah.
And my favorite story, I was at a race in Lac Luzon, France, and I'd been winning a bunch of the runs and doing really well, and we went up for the final run and they were getting things ready, and so we were sitting in a restaurant up at the top of the lift where we could just then ski down to the track, and they had us wait there while they were getting things ready, and I'm sitting at a table with a couple of friends of mine, and there's these guys sitting at the table next to us, and one of them says to the other one, "Man, did you hit that bump down there by the rock?" And I'm just thinking to myself, there's no bumps in the track. What bump, what rock? And on my last run down, that thought came into my head as I was going down. I'm skiing down, and I think, oh, there's the rock, and where's the bump? And, of course, by that time, I totally lost the zone. And I ended up coming, I think, in fourth place in the race.
You know, and that's the incredible thing about competition, is those milliseconds that separate you from first or second, right? Mm-hmm. And Jake Fiala, last night we were interviewing, and he was like, you know, a great downhill racer, and accomplished so much. But Jake's a big boy, right? And he raced skier cross. And so Tom asked him, well, what was better about skier cross than downhill? He goes, because I knew if I was in first place, right? Because there's six of us on the course.
You know exactly where you are.
And I know where I am instead of against the clock. Because when I'm on a downhill course, I don't know if I'm in first place or second place until I cross the finish line.
Well, you talk about milliseconds, and there was just a memory came up for me of somebody had posted a picture of the story from the 2019, what year was that? 1990 season. I was tied with Michael Prufer going into the last race of the season, and he beat me by a thousandth of a second. Because in the speed scheme, it's measured to the thousandth of a second.
So he beat
me by 1,000th of a second.
That's like three whiskers.
It's not even. It's like 3/1000ths of a whisker. It was, and so he won the overall title, and I was second by 1,000th of a second.
Oh man, you know.
I mean, in downhill racing, it goes down to the hundredths of a second. Yeah. In thousands of a second?
Yes, but then the results then are printed out in speed. And so they calculate the speed based on the time, and then they publish the speed. They don't actually publish the time, but when that happened, somebody from the U.S. Connected to the U.S. ski team figured out what the times would have been, and that it was a thousandth of a second.
What was the difference in the speed?
Oh, I don't even remember. That was
almost
30
none.
Years ago.
I mean, that would almost be negligible.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, maybe a tenth of a kilometer an hour or something.
How fast were you going?
We were over 100. We were around 130 miles an hour at that
race. Now, I just want to remind our listeners that we're talking to one of our great friends and one of our locals who has gone over 130 miles an hour on skis in his life, and they're still sitting here with us. And earlier today, when we were sitting at the bar, we were talking about how we need to schedule a ski day.
Yeah. Well, it won't be long.
It won't be long. The snow is coming. And, you know, Tom, it's so cool that you wanted to bring the snow show back to life, because it's been 10 years since you and I have done a spontaneous snow show.
Yeah.
And to bring CJ on is the perfect thing, because, brother, you'll always be an inspiration to us.
Thank you.
And the fact that you're still out there at Breckenridge, ripping it.
Making turns.
And here we are.
Not too many of them, though, right? You want to point them down the hill.
You know, at this point in our life, turning is overrated. You know, like,
oh, no. My friends complain about how much I turn. I turn so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ripping it is probably a stretch now to describe my skiing, but I'm out there.
That's the main thing.
I've always been out there.
Well, yeah. Well, CJ, talk about some of the stuff that you do in Breckenridge on a regular basis. 4th of July, you're a regular fixture. Ullerfest. I mean, they're all the big events.
Ullerfest.
Yeah.
Ah, that's coming up. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, Ullerfest is going to be, the parade will be Thursday, December the 18th, I believe.
Yeah.
And it usually starts around 4 o'clock. Well, and of course, they do the shot ski.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Wait a minute. You said the shot ski. You mean the Guinness World Record-breaking shot ski.
Yes. And where we
Guinness
are...
Guinness World of Records shot ski. It's like 357,000 people, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Well, as long as it's a few more than Park City did.
Yeah. But, well, there was some bar in Wisconsin that took the title away from both Breckenridge and Park City.
You're kidding.
No, the bar was called Shotskis. And they had the record for, I think, 1 year, but then Breckenridge took it back last year, and there has been no competition since.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to vote for the shot ski record of the world, just... No, I'm just kidding.
And interestingly, we're sitting here in the barrel room at the Breckenridge Distillery, and the Breckenridge Distillery is they're the ones that have really helped do this shot, that put the whole shot ski thing on year after year, and they do a great job of it, and it's a whole lot of fun.
A lot of fun is what Ullerfest is all about in Breckenridge.
CJ, back in the day when we were, you know, ski bums up here, would you ever have thought we'd have be sitting in the barrel room of a distillery that makes whiskey in Breckenridge?
Breckenridge, yeah.
And you know where we are on Airport Road, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember when planes were landing there and stuff, you know, when I was a kid. You know, that was small planes landed here all the time.
Yeah, I actually
and,
I
and
had
they even
a friend
brought some celebrities here whose names we'll never know. But I remember driving down Highway 9 and seeing a single engine Cessna land on the Airport Road, you know, and God, that was only 10 years ago.
Well, it was more than that.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that there was a landing strip out here, and I actually, a friend of mine had a plane, and I actually got to, we flew to Aspen one afternoon and flew back and took off and landed right from the little strip out here.
Yeah.
And then airport, there was a push to try and get an airport here, and they named the road Airport Road, and then the airport wasn't didn't come to fruition, and so, but it's still called Airport Road.
There was a reason about that. I've heard, I don't know any of the particulars, but to have an airport, you have to have FAA, you know, that approval and stuff. And there was something that they, and there was also a lot of money involved, and so they said, no, screw it, we're not going to be an airport anymore. And that was the end of it.
Yeah, and there had been a crash. A private plane had troubles taking off from that, but and mostly because of the north wind, and of course the thing is lined up north or south of north, and so you could take off and it land, but yeah. The wind was out there. It was, from what I've been told, the wind was a big problem with that.
I have a glider pilot's license. And I've been sailing on Lake Dillon ever since you could sail there. And the wind blows five different directions up here.
Yeah, all
you
the
know,
time.
You know, taking I've thought about that many times because of that crash. Because you take off and the wind can change directions on you without you seeing it coming.
Yeah. Or there used to be a hot air balloon outfitter that worked out of Breckenridge.
Yeah,
and
but not for very long.
No, that didn't last long.
They did an event where they invited hot air balloons, and they were supposed to go across the divide and stuff, and the weather messed them up so bad that they were like, okay, we can't do this.
Not happening anymore.
I've been up in a hot air balloon, and you don't have a lot of control.
No, it's all about the weather and the wind.
You're praying to Mother Nature.
you're basically chasing the wind at different levels, going to different altitudes to find different wind directions.
Actually, the wind is chasing you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, CJ, you're still skiing.
Yes.
What's your very favorite thing to ski at Breckenridge?
Oh, my gosh. Imperial chair.
Oh, I'm with you.
And
100% on that one.
And I was actually talking to a friend the other day who was raised in town, and the question came up, what was my favorite run back then when it was just peak eight? Believe it or not, Mach 1 was the big run. There was the pommel lift went up beside the Horseshoe Bowl, but they didn't have the Horseshoe Bowl open because there had been an avalanche in the 60s that scared them, and so they didn't want to get involved with that. So you could ski that back bowl area off the B-50 Palma that was there, but Mach 1 was the place to be. And in the spring when the bumps were soft, it was full of skiers skiing really good bumps, so Mach 1 was the place back
then. But that's when bumps were big.
Big and pretty round, and now
the size of Volkswagens.
But now I just love riding up Imperial Chair, and I've said it before that if I could just ride Imperial Chair once a day every day, then my day would be fulfilled. But sometimes the snow is just so amazing from the wind buff, and of course on the powder days there's places to go, but just the groomer along the ridge, when it gets less crowded later in the year and go up there, you can make. I made one morning last year, I made 10 really quick runs in a row just skiing that ridge, and it didn't even take an hour. And oh my gosh, it was just so much fun.
And there was no one there but you.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at your tracks.
Well, on the groomer, yes, even on the groomer, when there's nobody there, you can see your tracks on the groomer, which is great.
You know, Tom and I have been skiing together for a couple of decades. And oftentimes when we're in those good conditions, wherever we are, and 11 years of doing the snow show, I mean, we were getting paid. We were getting paid to ski. It was really cool.
And a lot of fun.
But we'd be riding up the lift, and we deliberately skied under the lift so we could look at each other's tracks and go, you know. Yeah. And that, I think that's called passion for skiing.
Right? I'll send you a picture I still have on my phone. I used to ride up the Falcon chair first thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And just on the groomer days. And I would ride up, and if they had groomed it just right, there was a pretty much a straight line from the almost the top of the chair, almost the bottom of the chair.
I know that line.
Right under the lift.
Yep.
And I would ski down and make my round turns and hop back on the chair and ride up and figure eight my turns and then ride up one more time and take a picture of it.
Awesome. And so to go back to your comment, you know how to rip.
I know how, but I don't anymore.
Come on, man. You're younger than me.
Well, that's true, but I think most people, I would say my knees have more ski mileage under them, but I'm not sure I could say that to you, Leon.
Well, this year will be my 72nd consecutive season at A-Basin, my 73rd year on skis, and I think the best thing that I can look back on in my career is I have done instructor training for every major ski school in the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Didn't you hear that?
I heard that.
The dogs were barking.
Yeah, it's like, wow, there's a big reaction.
It looked like they were dogs or wolves. They were the barrels. They were going, woo. Yeah, yeah.
It's almost Halloween.
Yeah. It is. We are in the barrel room here at the Breckenridge Distillery. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Leon Joseph Littlebird and our good buddy C.J. Mueller. Tell me about your hat that says the Rope Duckers.
The Rope Duckers.
Duckers.
It's a and for those of you who are not watching my beautifully produced video, they're speed skiers. That's not a guy ducking a rope. That's a guy going 130 miles an hour.
That's actually the logo of Pup's Glide Shop, and the Ski Patrol.
Yeah.
The Ski Patrol borrowed it, and the Ski Patrol had the rope. One of the guys on the Ski Patrol had Rope Ducker. One of their teams is I can't remember, it's hockey team or something. It's called the Rope Duckers.
Perfect.
That's why there's a cross on the arm of the ski patrol.
Yeah, but the O for rope is a baseball.
There we go. It's a softball team.
Okay. Yeah. There it is. Not a hockey team.
Softball Not a hockey team. It's a softball team. Yeah, thanks.
So was the sponsor Seamus O'Toole's by any chance?
Oh, my gosh. Seamus O'Toole.
Well, let's have a toast to Seamus.
Seamus O'Toole.
May he rest in peace.
Indeed, yeah.
Seamus gave us lots of great memories.
Yep. Cheers.
The man himself, Seamus O'Toole. Mo Dixon has a great story about the very first day he came to Summit County. He showed up with a guitar case and a backpack at the Gold Pan. And the first guy that met him there said, "Can you play that guitar?" And he said, "Yes, I can." And he brought him in, and Mo played, and the guy bought him dinner and let him stay at his crash on his couch, and it was Seamus O'Toole.
Awesome.
And so when Seamus died, Mo called me immediately. He's like, "Seamus is gone." He's like, "First guy I ever met." You know. Wow. And now Mo's a legend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we can get him on the show. Mm-hmm. He's coming up. We're going to do some shows together.
Oh, very cool.
CJ, I just want to tell you what an gas it is for me to sit and share stories with you. And I want you to promise me one thing.
I'll see what I can do.
No, yeah, I know. I know how hard it is for you. You're now a grandfather.
I am.
Just recently.
Yeah, 4 months.
Congratulations.
Awesome. 4 months. He's got a new grandson. And guess who Grandpa gets to teach how to ski? CJ.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be getting close to 80 years old when I'm taking my grandson up the T-bar.
I just turned 75, and Tom was one of the first ones to remind me, "You're closer to 80 than 70. It's like, oh, shit, here we go. So, dude, the three of us have to ski.
Yes, we will. Plan
this,
on that.
This coming ski season. And we're looking for some good snow. And the whole reason we have to do it is because Mr. Fricky here can make every other turn go right I can maybe turn, go left, and we want to see if you can go straight.
Oh, I can still go straight. I have to tell you, since you're talking about the turning left and turning right, and you're talking about some of this old stuff. Ski Patrol in Breckenridge used to have a saying, because you said we would have to find some good snow. The Ski Patrol's motto back in the 70s was, all snow is good snow.
Yeah.
Some's just trickier than others.
Yeah.
True. How true.
Isn't it just?
Oh, man. Well, thanks again for joining us, CJ. Would you do us the honor of that skier's toast
that you did
for Seamus O'Toole? There was an impromptu gathering at Fatty's. Was it a couple of weeks ago?
Just a week ago, Thursday.
Send off for Seamus O'Toole. But there's going to be an official memorial on St. Patrick's Day
in Breckenridge. Yes.
Yeah.
And in Florida on November the 8th.
Yeah. So give us that skier's toast that you did.
I'll do that, and I'll preface it with a toast to Seamus. Here's to Seamus O'Toole. And the skier's toast is, here's to me in my younger days when I gamble, ski, and drink. And here's to me in my older days when I'll amble, sit, and think. When my skiing days are over and from this world I pass, I hope they bury me upside down so the world can kiss my ass.
Yeah!
Woo! Cheers. Mm.
Yes, indeed.
From the Breckenridge Distillery, another episode of the Colorado Snow Show.
Right here in the barrel room.
You can hear the echo.
And the coolest thing was when you were talking to Olivia.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear the echo because she didn't have the echo.
Right.
And so you don't hear the echo when Olivia was talking. But, oh, my gosh, it's so cool.
It's like being in a cavern.
We'll have to move into the other room and go to the bar. What do you say, guys?
Yeah, let's go
Sounds
eat.
Sounds good. Blue River cocktails on me.
Woohoo. Here's a Colorado Snow Show flashback to December of 2008 at Arapaho Basin.
This is the Crystal Snow Show, only on Colorado's Crystal 93.
So, Tom, you know, in all the years you and I have been skiing together, I've just seen major improvements in your skiing, buddy. What do you attribute that to?
Well, it's always going with a pro. That really helps. Yeah. When you know somebody who can actually give you some pointers here and there and kind of take your skiing to a whole new level, that's an awesome thing.
You know, it's really amazing. If somebody's got a good eye and does movement analysis well, can look at your skiing, they give you one little thing, and it makes a world of difference.
By any chance, would you know somebody who could do that?
Yeah, I do. I know a guy that's got it all together. He's my buddy, my big buddy right here, Mr. Bert Skull.
All
Bert,
right.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing awesome.
Yeah, man.
So, Tom, you know, going with a pro doesn't mean skiing with Leon every time. You need to come up to the A-Basin Snow Sports School and really get some help, so both on your telly and your alpine, so we can really take you up so that...
See, Leon and I started telling at the same time, so we're kind of at the same level of progression. I don't think he can really tell me much about how to improve my telly skills.
Yeah. Well, we can help you with that. We can help you with telly skills, you know, and just a little bit more snow. Polly and a lot more of this mountains is going to open up.
Well, yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's coming soon. Yeah, and now we got the tunnel open.
They got the tunnels open
this weekend. How cool is that?
You know, did you hear what they're going to call it? The Bert Skull Tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnel. I thought it was a tunnel of love.
That's what he called it.
Tunnel of love. The Bert Skull Tunnel of Love.
Bert Skull Tunnel of Love. That's the name of it.
Come walk through the tunnel this weekend.
Well, you know, our telly program up here at A-Basin is probably the best there is anywhere.
That's correct. And we were just ranked number 4 in Telemark Magazine as number 4 in the country as a Telemark mountain. So,
there you go.
And we are probably one of the best Telemark snow sports schools around. And we got some really top pros.
Maybe the best ever anywhere.
The best ever.
Oh, certainly the best with a tunnel of love.
Yeah.
No one else has got that going for it. Yeah.
Well, I got the telly skills pretty much down to the beginner, maybe kind of intermediate level, but getting into the steeps with telly turns, that's still a little bit of a bugaboo that I can't quite get
now's,
to. Can I get some
time.
Help from you?
Yeah, now's the time to do that so that in a couple weeks when Polly starts cranking, you are ready to jump right in there and get off on that mountain so we can take you out today on the easier stuff and teach you new skills and teach you new tactics that you can then apply when you are a little more puckered up.
Well, right. You know what we really want to do, speaking of puckering up, is get you out on telly.
Yeah, that's it.
This
be
is
going to
be, you
that'll
said this year, I know you got the plate for your Blizzard skis.
So
we're going to put some bindings on there. We're going to get you out there. Then we're really going to have some fun.
Yeah, I'm a good Catholic. I'll get a flick all the way
down. Oh, this could be fun.
Catholic guy.
All we have to do is say Hail Mary and he'll go down on one knee. He'll be right there.
That's it.
Well, the whole thing that I understand about tele skiing is that it's not that dramatic of a knee drop kind of a thing. The movement is more subtle these days,
isn't it?
It's really more subtle.
It's
because people get freaked out. It's like, man, I don't want to work that hard skiing when they see these tele guys dropping all the way down to the knee down to the ground. You don't need to do that.
Plus, you're really out of balance when you get that low, so you're not as strong. When your knees flex that much, you're not as strong as you are in the right tele position. And those are little things that's the reason you go with a pro.
That's right.
That's why you learn how to do it.
You're at Arapahoe Basin.
At Arapahoe Basin.
At the Snow Sports School.
At the Snow Sports School.
That's because we've got the tele of love.
We got the tele of love. The telly of love.
The telly of love.
What do you need?
The tunnel telly of love.
Tunnel telly of love.
The tunnel's getting all kinds of names.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready to set my heels free.
All right.
And the mind will follow.
Let's go.
Come on up.
Bert, are we going to get you on tellys this year?
Yeah.
It's on the radio. It's official.
Here we go.
We've got it.
That's it.
We're going to do it.
Bert's going on telly skis this year.
The Crystal Snow Show. Only from Colorado's Crystal 93.
So, Tom, you know, with all the cool stuff that's been going on at A Basin, they have built a tunnel. Did you know that?
A tunnel.
Yeah,
there's
a tunnel on the other side of the pass.
But you can't ski through it, though.
You can't ski through it or drive your car through it. But you can walk through it, and that's really cool.
You don't have to walk across the highway anymore.
Because now you don't have to walk across the highway anymore and have those tankers run over you.
How awesome is that?
You know, that happened to you twice.
Yeah, well, and I survived.
So much for the tanker.
Yeah, well.
So here we are at A Basin this weekend. There's going to be something really cool happening. The pedestrian tunnel is going to open up from the highlight.
The grand opening this weekend.
That's right.
The tunnel is officially open.
So, Kristen, is that right? The tunnel is going to be open this weekend?
Yes. We opened it briefly for Thanksgiving weekend.
Uh-huh.
But we put
I walked through it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
We put the finishing touches on since, and now it's ready for everyone to use.
Yeah, cool. So, Tommy, are you going to be the first one to go through?
You can park across the street here at A Basin, walk under the highway, through the tunnel.
Yeah,
not have to stop for traffic, and traffic doesn't have to stop for you.
So this has been a pretty major undertaking for the basin, huh?
Yes, it has. We needed to improve our parking from last season, so we added some parking spaces over the summer.
And you added a bunch of parking spaces.
We added a bunch of parking spaces, and we hopefully streamlined our parking lots and added the tunnel, a couple shuttle buses that will run on the weekends. So
cool. Now, where do the shuttle buses run from?
They run from the upper parking lots,
right,
which are Last Chance and High Noon,
right,
to the tunnel, and then you just walk right through the tunnel to the base area.
Nice.
That's cool. All right.
That's
get
very
that tunnel
cool
experience here,
yeah,
at the basin.
Yeah, man. So, you know, you don't have to go through Eisenhower Tunnel anymore.
Not at all.
No. You just avoid that whole thing.
Just come right up here to the basin. You
got
your own little
tunnel.
You can walk right through it.
That's right. What are we going to call this tunnel?
Ooh, good question. Have any good ideas?
Ooh, yeah, the Montezuma Tunnel.
We've
got the Montezuma Bowl.
That
name's used already.
You've
got to come up with something else. Maybe we can have a tunnel naming ceremony later on.
Naming the tunnel.
Yeah.
That's it.
The Tunnel of Love.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. Come see the brand new open this weekend.
Tunnel of Love. Right here at A Basin. Officially named. Tim named it. That's it. It's official.
The Tunnel of Love it is.
We'll see you walking through the tunnel.
All right.
Leon Littlebird and Tom Fricke. They'll be back with more Snow Show fun on Crystal 93.